Good morning, church family. For some of you, that'll probably be the last time you get to hear me say that. So you can rejoice in that, or it can be a sorrowful thing, however you want to look at it. It's not going to bother me either way. So it is great that we have a chance to be here this morning to worship together. Hopefully on your way in today, you're able to grab one of our bulletins. As always, there's lots of information in there to keep you up to date for some things that are going on around Graham Street. I do want to go over a couple of reminders. If you are a guest with us today, thank you for joining us and allowing us to be your family this morning as we worship together. Yes, if you could scan that QR code, it'll take you to a connecting form on our website. It just helps us to get a little bit of information, and then that way if you also have anything you want to pass along to us, we would be grateful for that. But again, we are so thankful that you have chosen to make this your place of worship this morning. As always, we want to encourage you guys to stay connected with a lot of our online resources. The Graham Street page itself, grahamstreetchurch.com, grahamstreetyouth.org for the youth ministry happenings, texasforchrist.org for all of our campus ministry happenings that are going on. Then we have our church Facebook page as well. Great ways to stay connected and things that we have going on. This morning, Children's Church is going to be available for ages 3, 4, and 5. We'll dismiss for that right after the children's offering. This morning, the children's offering, and for the next few weeks at least, going through, I think, the month of February, all of the children's offering will actually go towards our spring break mission trip that's going to be going on to help out with supplies and things that they'll be needing as they head to Kentucky to help with some of the recovery and the cleanup from the tornadoes there. So as your kiddos get to give towards that this morning, we're always grateful for that. There's also still the opportunity for you to give through the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief if you'd like to give directly to them. But the funds that we have collected through the children's offering will go directly towards our group and the work that they're going to be doing over spring break. Also want to remind you that the nursery is available. First door on the right as you head down the hallway at the back of the foyer if you need to make use of that for those under the age of 3. This morning, as we get started on the things that we get to focus on, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let's pray together. God, we are grateful that you sent your son. And Father, that he rules over everything. Father, that we don't have to worry about who's in control, who's deciding what happens. But Father, you have taken control because you've always been in control. Father, thank you for this time and place we have to be joined here this morning, to worship together, to praise you, to sing out to you. Father, may we now at this time be unified as one as we come together for this time on this first day of the week, as your people, as your chosen ones, as the forgiven. Father, we're grateful for your love, your grace, your mercy, your compassion that you have for us. Father, hear us now as we worship together. So I pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. If it's convenient, would you please stand as we sing these first two songs together?
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. stand with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. O Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, teach your children to stop the fighting, start uniting all as one. Let's get together, loving forever, sanctuary for you. You were the one, Lord, who sent the Savior, heart and soul, Lord, for our land. It is you, Lord, who know our weakness. You refine us with your hand. So, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Please be seated.
Father God, just for today, help me walk your narrow way. Help me stand when I could fall. Give me the strength to hear your call. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name. Here I am, just for today. Live in me and have your way. For my desire, when this race is run, is only to hear you say, well done. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name. May my steps be worship. May my thoughts be praise. May my words bring honor to your name.
This next song will be the song before our prayer this morning. Continue to sing right out.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. And words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, and thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. So listen to our hearts. Hear our spirits sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. But words are not enough.
Please pray with me.
Dear God, as we come before you today, Thank you for allowing us to gather in your name, Lord, and be with others who believe in you and allowing us to grow within you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you give us every day to just spread your name, Lord, and everything you do for us. As we go throughout our week, just allow us to keep us mindful of you and mindful of those who need you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
This next song is to prepare us for communion this morning.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. Precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so, he loved me so, he loved me so. He gave his precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave his precious life for me.
Please bow your heads with me as I pray over communion. Dear God, I pray as we take this bread that we remember the sacrifice that your Son made for us on that cross, and that through this week, we take a moment to remember it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please bow your heads again as I pray over the juice. Dear God, I pray that we remember the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross, and that how this juice represents his blood that was spilled so that our sins might be forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, we're going to get ready to send our 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds off to Children's Church upstairs in the loft. Parents, again, if you could, make sure you walk them up there. And then, as always, after worship, don't forget to go and pick them up this morning. Just a reminder, as the kids get ready to come down, of any age that want to give towards this, for at least the next month or so, the children's offering will go towards our spring break mission trip. So if that's something you want to contribute towards for the supplies and the travel, things like that, they're going to go into that, please do so. If you haven't heard about that yet, make sure you check things out there in the bulletin and online. There's different things. I will let others explain that a little bit more as we get going with that. But let's go ahead and have our
Psalm 118:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
All right, if you would be standing as we sing this next song before David's lesson this morning. Can't not stand, it's in the name, so. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot form. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on
promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Please be seated.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Well, if you have forgotten or didn't know, this morning will be Wes's last Sunday morning with us, and we're gonna miss him. I'm gonna miss him doing that introduction and getting us started and the work that he's been doing here. But we're gonna have lunch in honor of Wes and Nicole and the family. After services, we encourage you to stay afterwards. We've got hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. It's a great opportunity for you to tell Wes how much you appreciate his work, and please stay for that. Wes didn't know this, but at the end of services, when we pray over Wes, we're going to bring Nicole and the kids back into the auditorium for that time. So you might be watching for your kids when they come back in so that they're not lost when they come in here, so they can find you. We wanted Wes and Nicole and the kids to be together for that time, so we're going to do that at the end. So you won't have to go up to the loft to find your kids unless we didn't get them all back down here. So be watching for them when they come in. Let's just start with prayer, okay? Would you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day. There's a lot of mixed emotions for me this morning as I preach this sermon. I really feel the sense of the Holy Spirit leading us to have this lesson on the schedule for today before we even knew that we would be dealing with Wes's leaving. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that you have led us to this point. And we ask, Father, for your leading through this lesson today that we'll apply what we need to from your word. Help our emotions to not be what leads us, but may the Holy Spirit lead us through your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When my little sister was 3 years old and I was 9 years old, she decided to take off on her own when mom wasn't looking. Somehow she got out of the house and she took off. And we lived in an area where there were not too many houses, and a lot of woods, a lot of open fields. And mom got to looking for Beverly in the house and couldn't find her. And so the next thing that mom did, of course, was come out into the yard where me and my little brother were playing and said, "Find your sister." And we took off looking for her. And when we couldn't find her in the yard anywhere or in the surrounding area around our yard, mom went into a panic. And she went in and awakened my dad, who was sleeping because he worked nights. And dad, of course, aroused and from a sleep, he gets up and starts looking in some of the same places we had looked. And then mom began to call neighbors that were spread out in our area. And we began this massive search. And people began to show up at our house. They looked in the area around their homes and they came to our house. And I remember dad assigning people areas to go look. And my brother and I headed down a few of the trails in the woods that cut over to other fields and cut over to the other gravel roads like the one that we lived on. It seemed like a long time. It may not have been that long because we were all so scared. But we found her. In fact, really, our dogs found her. She was in a field, another gravel road over from ours, that we had looked in several times. But the grass and the brush and so forth was just the right height that it was over her head, and we just overlooked her. And I remember when my mom and my dad were standing there holding Beverly, and they were all crying. And I remember that day so vividly in my mind, because that was such a scary time for our family. And I would have to say that it changed the way my mom did her parenting with Beverly. From that day forward, my mom had a hard time ever letting Beverly out of her sight. I'm talking about through her teen years, through her college years, and even after she became a wife and a mother, Mom really struggled. She had to talk to Beverly every day, and she wanted to know everything that she was doing, because I believe because of that event in her life when she was 3 years old. My sister, Beverly, died when she was in her early 30s. And I remember a moment that brought back that memory of her getting lost, when my mom and my dad were standing with her 3-year-old boy upon her death, and they were crying. And it made me think of that day that Beverly was lost and found. Now, I tell you that story because of the story we're going to focus on in the Bible this morning. Because I think we read this story about Jesus in the temple, and we forget how scary it must have been for Mary and Joseph for Jesus to stay behind at the temple and for them to realize that he was lost. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And I want to read this story to you again. I want you to keep that emotion in mind as we read this story of Jesus as a boy of 12 years old in the temple. Beginning in verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. And after the feast was over, while the parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Can you imagine what that was like? They've traveled for a period of time, and then they realize that Jesus is not around. But the quick answer to that is, well, he's probably hanging out with his cousins, or, you know, he's over with Uncle Bob or whatever, you know. And so they go and they check it out with the other groups of their families and friends that are traveling on this journey from Jerusalem back home. But he's not there. And soon they realize that Jesus is not anywhere around. And they've already traveled this distance from Jerusalem, and so they travel back to Jerusalem. You know, it's not like they can hop in the car and go check it out. They can't pick up their cell phones and call each other and say, "Hey, would you check and see if you can find Jesus?" They have to walk all the way back to Jerusalem. And they start checking at shops and places that they think a boy of 12 years old would be hanging out. And they've got to be thinking somebody's up to no good here. And then finally, when they find him in the temple, there's got to be a tone of not only anxiousness, but a bit of anger in this too. Don't you know you scared us to death? Is the statement that's being made. So I want you to keep that in mind. But I want to first, let's focus on Jesus. Because that's where we want to put our main emphasis. But I want us to look at what Jesus says. Some things that we could see about Jesus in this. Number one, notice, and let me say this about Jesus, because I think this gets missed in this story. Luke's purpose in writing is to write to Gentiles. To tell Gentiles that this is no longer a Jewish thing. This is for everybody. What Jesus came to do opened the door for every one of you. And this is not like you've got to convert to Judaism. This is, you can be a disciple of Jesus because the kingdom that Jesus brought is for everyone. So Luke wrote differently than the other Gospels. When you study Matthew, you're studying a writer who is writing to Jewish people who are familiar with Jewish text. And so he quotes over or alludes to over 100 verses in the Old Testament because they're familiar with that. And one of the ways to prove that Jesus is the promised Messianic King is to say that he fulfilled prophecy. Luke is not trying to do that. Mark writes about the power of Jesus. He moves Jesus quickly to the cross and to the resurrection because the emphasis of Mark is, in this Roman world that he's writing to, is that Jesus came with power. And there's no power like the power of Jesus. And if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're giving your allegiance to the true power of the world. Not the Roman emperor that can compare to this. Not even the power of Satan could begin to explain the power of Jesus Christ. If you give your life to Jesus, you're committing your life to a life of power and authority. When John writes, John is writing a defense of Jesus as being the Son of the living God. And by believing in him, you can have life in your name. So he specifically finds miracles to tell about that will help bring about that faith. He tells about sayings of Jesus like, I am, fill in the blank, to help people come to the faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God through whom you have life. But Luke is writing to the common man, to the Gentile man of the world and woman of the world. And he's telling them, Jesus is for you too. And he emphasizes something that's unique from the other writers. He emphasizes his humanity. He emphasizes him as a baby boy. He emphasizes him as a 12-year-old boy. He emphasizes that until he is given the power of the Holy Spirit upon his baptism, he functioned as a man in a world of people, relating to people as a person. And so when Luke writes about the 12-year-old boy that's lost and found in the temple, he's writing about a boy that was just a boy. Not Superboy. Growing up to be Superman. He's just a boy. And that's important to the story. And like any 12-year-old boy, he had other interests other than what his parents had. Let me say to the boys, the young men who helped in our worship this morning, thank you for having an interest in helping us worship this morning. Thank you. Because you see, not all boys their age have an interest in doing that. You know, boys get caught up in all kinds of things that attract their attention. And Jesus, Luke is saying, is no exception. He could have been interested in all the usual things that 12-year-old boys get interested in. But he was interested in going to the temple and talking about God's word. That wasn't because God made him do that. That's not because he was some superhuman that was doing this because he had to do it. He was forced to do it. He did this because as a 12-year-old boy, he was taught to put his interest in God. I want you to notice his priorities. If you were to literally, now I know the sentence I have up here is hard to read, but if you were to take the Greek words that are found in this text and just put them literally in the order they're found, this is how it would read. Did you not know that in the things of the Father of me, which is my Father, in the things of the Father of me, it needs to be me. Now that's the reason why you have basically two translations of this passage. You have that, don't you know that I needed to be about my Father's business? That's one translation. Or didn't you know that I needed to be in my Father's house? That's the two main English translations of this verse. It's interesting, in this verse, the word business and house is not found. The reason why they translated it that way is trying to make sense of this strange wording. Because basically what Jesus is saying, didn't you know the things of my Father I need to be in? I need to be in the things of my Father. Well, what are the things of his Father? His word, his wisdom, his plan, his mission. It's not just about being in the temple. It's not just being about the Father's business. And boy, what does that mean? It's whatever is about my Father. Whatever God wants me to be concerned about, that needs to be my priority. Wow. Can you believe that? A 12-year-old boy is saying, the things of God need to be the priority in my life. Young men and women of the congregation today, the teenagers among us, I would hope for you that early in your life you come to the same conclusion. The things that are important to God need to be important to me. And then notice also his submission. Luke says that he from that day forward went back to Nazareth and submitted not only to God the Father, who he was submitting to already, but he also submitted in obedience to his parents that under whom he was given by God to obey. He lived in submission to them. And what's implied in this by Luke is that he could have chosen not to be in submission. He could have chosen to be disobedient, like many children do. He made a choice. I'm going back home with my parents to live in obedience to them, because he could have chosen to go the other direction. And then notice his growth. Luke outlines for us the outline of all the growth of children, really, physically. We're concerned about our children growing properly physically. If they're not, we want to do something about it. If something's not developing the way it needs to develop, we want to get on top of it and we want to solve that problem. That's what good parents do. Jesus grew in that way physically. He grew mentally. And within the mental aspect of his growth are different dimensions. Of course, there's intellectually. He must have been a very gifted intellectual child, because already he's able to have these deep conversations with the people who knew the Word of God. He was involved. He was engaged. He wasn't just asking them questions. They were asking him questions, and they were amazed at his answers. Intellectually, he was doing quite well. But notice, mentally also includes some other things. For example, emotions. How is Jesus in handling his emotions as a 12-year-old boy? Well, the scripture says he grew in that as well. The wisdom that's implied here is the ability to keep oneself mentally in control. That's how he was growing. And notice also he grew socially in favor with people. He learned how to be in a right relationship with people, how to show respect, how to show good manners, how to be courteous and kind and loving. Those were things that he was taught in the home by Joseph and Mary, and he grew in those things. At 12 years old, he was someone who already had a good command on behaving himself, having good manners, relating to people the way he should. There is a time of maturity that's expected of a young Jewish boy, and Jesus was growing in those areas like he should. But the other is very important. He was also growing spiritually. It's important at the age that Jesus was that there was noticeable growth in his spiritual development. And Joseph and Mary took that seriously. So let's look at some things about Joseph and Mary as parents. To begin with, I want you to notice these verses 43 through 49 that tells us the stress of parenting. Whether you've ever lost your child, even for a moment or not, these words sound like parenting, don't they? Look at the words, just some of these words they kind of escape us. Like, for example, they were unaware. Parents, don't we spend a huge part of our parenting years unaware? I mean, think about it. How many things do we not know? You know, and really, how do you know these things until you've experienced them? And you think, okay, you have that first child, and you think the second one is coming, and you're prepared now because you've been through this once. You're more aware now. And man, they throw you a curve. That second child is not like the first child, and you're still unaware. And, you know, if the Lord blesses you with a third child, you think, oh, man, I've been through two kids. I've got this down now. No, they're different again. You know, and we spend so much of our parenting unaware. Okay, what about this one? And this may not be what your version says, but basically here's the wording. They assumed that Jesus was with the other people. Oh boy, don't we make assumptions as parents? Isn't that a big part of parenting? You assume these things. And how many times are you wrong? You know, you assume something about your kid, and man, they throw you a curveball. You know, it's like, oh, wow, where did that come from? These assumptions, they get us in trouble. You know, you can't assume anything in parenting because the kids can think for themselves. And sometimes they don't think any way like we think that they're going to think. All right? So look at these words. And then they go searching for him. I don't think we get the vision of what it means to go back in the busy, bustling Jerusalem. I mean, they're from small town Nazareth. It's a village. It's not even a town. And they go into Jerusalem that's hurry, business going on, carts running up and down the street. I mean, it's like, you know, you've lost your kid in Dallas, you know, and where in the world do you start looking for them? And they're searching. How much of parenting do we do searching for our kids? I mean, if you've got a kid that's up to school age now and you're trying to get them off to school every morning, how much time do you spend searching for them every morning trying to get them off to school and make sure that they're still on track, getting going, doing what they're supposed to be doing? Think about that. How much time do you search for your kid when you've given them assignment of something that they're supposed to do, and you go and you look in there and they're not doing it, and you go searching for your kid? Where are you? You're supposed to be down here doing this. Searching. Isn't that summarize a big part of parenting? And then you have You have Mary and Joseph. They show up at the temple, and Jesus is there, calm, studying with the scholars, answering questions, asking questions. And Mary is just beside herself with this, "What are you doing? Don't you know we've been anxiously searching for you?" Doesn't that sound like parenting? Just plain old parenting. But then there's the other side of this, the joy of parenting. It says that Mary treasured this in her heart. And think of the treasures of your kids in your heart. You know, it's like this ongoing slide presentation in your head. You think back on the years of your children, and you've got these beautiful, wonderful moments that are just a part, the good part of being a parent. The little victories. The little moments when you know they love you and they appreciate what you've done for them. Those little moments when they've come to a realization about something. I mean, they finally figured it out. And the look on their face when they finally got it, you know. And you just cherish that. You treasure it in your heart. Those moments when they graduate from one phase to another, and they've done it successfully, and you know you helped them to accomplish that. You helped them climb that hill, and they've made it. Oh, those are wonderful. And then just this statement that Luke gives us, and he went home and was obedient to his parents. Oh, parents, sometimes it seems like we go stretches without that obedience, doesn't it? But oh, when they do obey, when they get it, when they understand that they don't have to understand, isn't that so special? That they quit asking why, and they just do it? And they trust you, and they believe that you gave them that command because it was best for them, whether they understand it or not. Isn't that a special day? Isn't that so special when your child reaches that point that they trust you and they just do what they're supposed to do? The joy of parenting. And then the success of parenting. The success of parenting. Physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. If you're like Vicki and I, and we understand, and many of you are in the same boat, sometimes you raise a child that physically is not going to be perfect. They may be dealing with something that is a part of their life for their whole life. And you don't gauge whether you've been successful in the physical category because they're perfect, because they turn out to be a great athlete, because they can run faster than somebody else or something like that. But sometimes knowing we've been successful in the physical category is just the fact that we've been able to keep them alive. Sometimes it's just helping them to cope with a disability. Sometimes it's helping them to realize that, yes, sweetie, you're different, but God still loves you and you're still valuable. You still have so much that you're going to do. And you're going to have an opportunity to help somebody else who has the same problem that you have. And you've been successful. And you realize that mentally, it's not all about making sure that your kids make the grades, or, you know, that people think that they're smart. But there's a whole lot more to being successful in developing your child mentally than even what people can ever test or gauge. because mentally includes how they handle their emotions and how they handle their own development and their own awkwardness and their own disabilities. And that they live their lives with hope. And they live their lives with the ability to see a positive side with every time that there's a negative thrown their way. And you begin to realize that being successful in raising your child mentally is a whole lot broader than what can be tested and put on a grade sheet and a report card from school. And then socially, helping your kids navigate the awkwardness of oncoming hormones. You ever think about if Jesus had started getting a little facial hair at 12 years old? You ever thought about that? I mean, I'm just curious, you know, if you ever think about what as a 12-year-old was Jesus experiencing? His puberty years are coming on, you know, his voice may be beginning to change a little bit. I mean, you ever think about that? Joseph and Mary are getting geared up to have a teenager. And right off the bat, they start the preteen years with Jesus lost. You remember those socially awkward years with your kids? They started about 18 months. Yeah? Starting to school, starting to be interested in the opposite sex, trying to understand what is sex. Oh boy, the challenge of being a successful parent in dealing with social adjustment. But then there's this last one, spiritually. Mary and Joseph were not successful parents if they got the other three perfect and they failed on the last. And parents, I'm telling you, no matter how well you navigate the physical and the mental and the social, if you don't develop your child spiritually, you have failed as a parent. God blessed you with your children to help them understand God. That is our responsibility. Certainly as much a responsibility as helping our children physically and mentally and socially. But aren't we called as Christian parents to put a priority on helping our children develop spiritually? And church, what in the world are we supposed to be about if it's not in helping parents do that job? Why do we exist as a community if our job is not as a church to join together in helping our parents raise their kids to be spiritually grown? If we don't do that, we fail in our mission. We cannot pretend that we are a successful church if we fail our parents in helping them to raise godly children. It just doesn't make sense why God would call us into being a family. We're called a family. The church is a family. And why would God call us a family if we're not going to be responsible in helping families? We're in a transition stage. We will begin a search for a new minister. Don't, church, please don't think that we have done our responsibility by casting that mission on whoever that person is. It is our job, and we can't pass it off to some minister. As a church, we must be a family that supports family. It is our job to partner with parents in helping them to raise their children, helping to see that they can take care of the physical needs, they can take care of the mental needs, they can take care of the social needs. But above all, we have a responsibility to help parents take care of the spiritual needs of their children. And we fail as a church if we don't do that. All right, church. I want to direct my attention to Wes now. So whoever's going to go get Nicole, go get Nicole, bring her in here. I want to say some things to Wes. And Wes, I love you. I am... I have been in churches where I've been in the position that you're in right now, and it is as awkward as all get out. And to have to sit there and listen to somebody addressing stuff to you has got to be awkward. And I have never liked the fact of leaving a church and it's just like, okay, bye. To me, that just doesn't seem right. This is a servant of God. And the kingdom is bigger than us. And he needs to have our blessing as he goes to another part of the kingdom of God. So I'm not going to let you just run off, okay? We're not going to do that. There are those times wherein somebody has left or they have been asked to leave. And it would be awkward to stand in front of the church and to say good things about that person and to give a blessing and all that. But that's not the case with Wes. Wes is going to a place that he considered going to previously. It makes him think, it's not my place to judge this, but it makes him think, you know, God must have a hand in that. There must be a calling of God in that. Come on in, kiddos. Find your moms and dads. Tell them you're here. They don't have to go find you. The sermon has made them afraid to go search for their child. All right, where's Nicole? If I can have Wes and Nicole come up here to the front, and Bria and Beckett, if you come down here, I'd like for you to come down here to the front this morning. And if I could get my elders to come up and stand with us, please. Vicki, there's a mic right there. If you could turn that on for them. Okay. And yeah, you go do that, Wes. We're going to adjust that, by the way, Wes. Nobody can see you? You think they want to see you? All right. I just want to say that I appreciate Wes so much, not just for his work with the youth, but Wes has been here at a time that is so difficult and so awkward for us. We didn't know what in the world we were doing when COVID hit. We did the best we could do, and Wes stepped up, and he helped us get so much done. But I want to say to you, Wes, that my greatest appreciation for you came at a very difficult time for us when Bruce died. And you guys remember, Bruce was working so hard for us to try to get the technology in place that we could do streaming, we could do things that we need to do to make sure that people who couldn't come to the building had our services and all of that. And it was just, he was just working himself so hard. And in addition to that, he was working, trying to do basic needs and dealing with their grant requirements and all of that. And then, as you know, suddenly we were without Bruce. And Wes stepped up. And I'm sure in some ways it pulled him away from some of the other things that he needed to do. But he knew we couldn't do it because we weren't even sure what Bruce had left undone. And Wes stepped up. And I just want you to know I'll forever appreciate that about you. And you have been a team player. You and Nicole both, you've been a team player. Whatever we needed, you guys jumped in and you did. And I want you to know that we love you and appreciate you for that. And we probably didn't take the time because of the chaos to say thank you so much for being there for us when we couldn't figure out what in the world we were doing. And I appreciate that. So I love you. You're going to be great. I want to just give you this charge, okay, from what we talked about this morning. That you go in and you help those parents there raise their kids like we've talked about this morning. That they're not your kids, but you invest in those kids to help the parents. Being concerned about the physical, being concerned about the mental, being concerned about the social, but keep helping those parents raise their kids with that spiritual priority because that's what it's about. And you keep putting your family first because that's what you model before the church when you do that. I've asked the elders to pray over you. What we're going to do is first I've asked one elder to pray for the two of you, your marriage, you know, leaders in your family. So pray over Wes and Nicole. I've asked another elder to be praying for Bree and Beckett. Because they're in transition, and we want God's blessing on them when they go from there. I'm going to pray, you know, for the ministry part of it, okay? I'd like one of our elders to pray over the church that's going to receive you, okay? To get them ready for that. And then the elder that's left over is going to pray at the end of our service for this church. That we do our transition well. Okay? So, the order, we'll pray for Wes and Nicole, then Bree and Beckett, and then I'll pray about the ministry, and then we're going to pray for the church at Lake Jackson as they receive them and they become their family. And then in the closing, we'll pray for this church. Okay? All right. So, who's going first? David?
I'll go.
Okay.
Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for our church family. We're most thankful right now for Wes and Nicole, for their work with us. We're thankful that you've brought them to us for a period of time. And in many ways, it was a difficult time. We all know the different things that made it difficult. We know that you sent them here for a purpose. We know that they have grown by being here with us. We ask for your continued blessings on them. May their marriage grow. May they grow also in their service to you. Strengthen them each day and give them that strength that they need to go through whatever circumstances are there, whether it's good times, whether it's bad times, but we ask for your blessings on them. We love them, and we know that you have good things in store for them, and just ask your blessing, continued blessings on them. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our God and Father, We are so thankful that Bria and Beckett have come our way. We're thankful that we've been able to see them grow, and as they go forward, we pray they'll continue to grow, that we pray that your protection will continue to be with them as they start a new school. We pray that they'll develop good friends. We pray for their teachers. We pray for the administration of their school, that it might have an environment that will be conducive to their learning, that will be conducive to their growing mentally, physically, and spiritually. We're thankful for their parents and for the example they set for them. And I pray, God, as they leave here, that they might be able to look back with fond memories on the friends that they have, on the classes they've been involved in, the teachers that they've had. And I pray that they will continue to grow and to mature, that they will be servants of yours, that they will follow in their parents' footsteps, and most important of all, God, that they will follow in Jesus' footsteps, and that they will be servants that honor and glorify you.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to pray for the ministry that they're about to enter into. I pray that you will indwell them through your Holy Spirit, that you'll guide them, give them wisdom, help them to work under the priorities that you set for them, and help them to know that they're getting that clear guidance from you in the direction that they should go. Help them as their thoughts and their emotions sometimes conflict, as they wonder if they're investing in the wrong people or they're trusting in people that aren't reliable, and help them to be wise in how they handle those emotions and those thoughts. Help them to love with the love of Jesus in their ministry. Help them to stand strong in the faith, like those leaders who have gone before them, like Moses, like Joshua. May they be able to stand courageous and boldly, knowing that you go with them wherever they go, and that you will fight the fight for them, and you will receive the glory that they try to give you by their ministry. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the talents that Wes and Nicole and Brian Beckett have brought to us here at Graham Street. We thankful for Brian Beckett's joyful faces and the smiles that they bring to us. We thank you for Nicole and Wes as they have shared their talents with us. We ask that the church at Lake Jackson be able to accept them and to be able to recognize the blessing that they're receiving. Help them to integrate with that church. Help them to find their niches and their places in the church to help and grow and solve problems and to help that church grow and be prosperous in your work and your salvation plan. Dear Father, please be with them. Help them to see Wes and Nicole day to day. Help them to be intertwined with this family. Help them to make them an integral part of that work. Dear Father, we ask those blessings upon that church as they grow and they try to recover in this unusual time of shutdowns and of disease and those sorts of things, and help them to find the ways to grow and reach out into that community. Help them in all the work they do. Help Wes and Nicole as they do, help them with that work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So Wes and Nicole, before we let you leave the stage, Quincy wants to lead the church in a song for you. Everybody want to stand as we sing this? And Andy, if you'll move us to the next slide there. I think we have it. All right.
I love you with the love of the Lord. I love you with the love of the Lord. I see in you the glory of my King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. Please love me with the love of the Lord.
Please love me with the love of the Lord. If you want to do God's will, then the need you must fulfill is
to love me with the love of the Lord. He loves me with the love of the Lord. He loves me with the love of the Lord. My debts were all paid when he rose up from the grave, and he loves me with the love of the Lord.
All right, you guys can go back and be seated. Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. We hope you were encouraged by being here. I certainly was encouraged by seeing our young man take a leadership role in our worship service. That was an awesome thing. And if you're visiting with us, you've honored us by being here this morning. Please come back. And thank you, David, and thank you, Quincy, for helping in leading our worship service today. Remind everyone, after we get through, we'll be across the street for lunch and the fellowship to honor Wes and Nicole. Please join us as we visit with them one more time. We're going to have just a closing prayer, and then Quincy will lead us with one more song, I believe. All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege that you've given us to worship here this morning, allowing us to be in your presence with the blood of Christ. You, Father, are our rock, our fortress. You alone are worthy. All praise, Father, is due you. We want to thank you for the blessings you've given us. We pray, Father, that we'd be good stewards at all times of the ways you bless us and the gifts that you give us. And thank you for your spiritual gifts, Father. Thank you for this avenue of prayer, your word, the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us in times of trouble, in times we need you to speak for us. But we thank you for forgiveness. Father, forgive us when we fall short. We ask you that we would remember the mistakes we made each day and not make those again. And also remember that your forgiveness, your mercy, and your grace is made new each day. We ask you to give us strength as we face the trials and temptations of this life, that you would give us the faith and the wisdom to look to you for guidance. Father, we ask you that we would be able to put away worry and fear and anxiety and turn our burdens over to you, Father, that we might find that perfect peace that you promised us. We ask that you be with the sick, those ill, those that are weak, and those that are brokenhearted this morning, Father, that you would heal them, that you would comfort them, and you would make them whole again. As we leave here, we ask that you make a way for us. We ask that we keep our eyes on you, Father. Keep our eyes on Christ. We put aside all those things that would stop us from running the race, the perseverance that you've placed before us. Father, we ask that you give us hearts of servants that we might be able to see the difference between the way the world views greatness and the way that you view greatness. We ask you be with your servants, Wes and Nicole, Father. We know that life is filled with changes, and they're about to make a transition, Father. Just ask that you give them strength and you bless them, that they would be a strength of each other, and that their ministry would be blessed in their new home. Protect us from the evil one, Father. Give us the wisdom and discernment to see the tricks and the lies that he might put before us. Well, thank you for Christ, that who redeemed us, who sacrificed for us and gave us life, even though, Father, we did nothing to deserve that. Father, as we leave here in a minute, go across the street for this luncheon, we ask that you would bless the food, and thank you for those who prepared it and put it together, and you would bless the fellowship that we're about to have with each other. And finally, Father, I want to pray for this church during this period of transition. We pray we go forward with an attitude that we're hiring someone or looking for someone to work with and not put the responsibility on them, and understand that we're all in this together, that we should help each youngster, each youth member spiritually, that we should be there for their support. And we pray the church would grow, that we would try to be better each day than the day before. And Father, we pray that our church will be known by our love for you and our love for one another. All these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
You would be standing for our final song this morning.
I want to thank everyone for the singing this morning. And on this, if you feel comfortable, I know we're in, you know, the season of pandemic COVID, but if you feel comfortable within your household or friends next to you, if you would, just join hands on this song. Or, you know, football players in the balcony, if you're not manly enough to join hands, I get it. Grab a shoulder next to you. This is a powerful song right here, so just pour your hearts into this song. We're going to start with the altos, and we'll just add parts as we go.
Love one another, for love is God. He who loves his own, God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Add the bass.
Love is all things, believes all things, love hopes all things, endures all things.
And the tenors.
God is love, 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 God is love.
And the sopranos.
God is love, God is love. God is love, 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 God is love.
Have a great week.